You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud. You're listening to Between Two Worlds. 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 Where is Ryan Lindsay? Where is that man? Ryan, are you there? I lost Ryan. Okay. Jimmy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey. Okay, you got everybody.
You got
now.
One of us.
Yeah, one of you. I think we lost our friend again. Tonight, folks, we have a great friend that we've had on a few times in the past, and I want to bring this man back. We always talk about the paranormal a lot, and I wanted to find out what he's been doing lately besides eating his meal. But we've got this fellow here actually works, he actually has this great organization called the APSR. That's the Alabama Paraspiritual Research. These guys have been going at it for quite a long time, and they've had a couple of videos out. Jimmy's working on a book. He's working actually doing television. I'm looking forward to seeing this program happening. And to enlighten everyone, let's just basically we'll get started as quick as we can because we're running a little bit late getting started. So I'd like to welcome Jimmy. Are you there?
I'm there, buddy. Thanks for having me on again, Derek. Good to be
no
here.
No problem. Yeah. We'll wait for my. We'll just keep on talking until we get Ryan in here because we somehow lost Ryan.
I am here, actually, Derek.
No, he's there.
Oh, he is. Okay, great. Okay. Setting hip, 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 setting hip. My new co-host. And also, this man works as a police officer for the Wisconsin Force. So, didn't we make a joke one time about Wisconsin?
I think we did.
Yeah.
I think that's actually on one of our demos that we had. In our best of. Yeah, I think it's on there.
We were picking on it. That was pretty cool.
You know the only thing they grow there in Wisconsin is cheese, right?
he's in a population of 2,000 people.
2,000 people. Yeah, I've lived in a town like that too. You know, and you know everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody knows Ryan, you, and that could be good or bad.
Now, I'm not sure if the Ryan is the officer of the only station that exists, or that he's the only officer of the town. But I was just telling Ryan the other day that they call Wisconsin, or actually any kind of any population around 2,000 is considered a city. And where I live, we call that a town.
Yeah.
Does that happen up in your area as well?
Yeah, it's about the same like it is for Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
See, I live in a township. I mean, I actually live in a town because it's under 2,000 people.
Under 2,000.
Hey, Derek, I'm back with you here. Having the guys back at the studio there fixed my volume a little bit.
Oh, good.
So
yeah, we can hear you now.
We've got cities, we've got villages, we've got townships, we've got municipalities, we've got suburbs, we've got a little bit of everything here. But
a little bit of everything, huh?
Population doesn't really. There's a lot of villages and towns that actually have. In this area, anyway, that actually have more population than some cities. I think it's just classified as whatever the people in the area want to have their government as. If they want a mayor, they have a mayor. If they want somebody else, they have somebody else.
Yeah, it has to do a lot with your government and with taxes.
Yeah, there you go. The money rules it all.
How much money do you want to pay out?
Exactly.
That always, taxes always has a lot to do with it.
Yep, that's finally what it comes down to.
Exactly.
So what has been happening in your side of the world? What have you been doing these days?
Talk to me and Ron.
I'm talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah. I've
been doing nothing.
You're talking about you doing the television. Have you started anything yet? Have you actually got anything off the ground a bit?
Actually, yeah. We've actually started some post-production. I say post, some pre-production, kind of in between pre and post. Just a lot. There's been a lot going on. It keeps setting me back a little bit.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people have been asking, where is this TV show? What's going on? When you having it? I'm like, well, when I get that chance to get to it, I will. You know, it's just I've had so many things going on with a new job and got my grandbaby down here. So get my son and his little family all squared away and taking time to watch my grandbaby grow a little bit. And just working hard, man. Me and Heather both been working. We've been remodeling our house. So just a lot going on, man. I don't know where I have time to do anything anymore.
Yeah, it happens when you become a granddad. You're just as busy as when you're a parent.
Well, you know, when you start getting our age there, well, you've already been my age, so.
Yeah, I've already been your age.
Remember when you were my age? many moons ago. You start thinking about when you reach your age, you know, because you're about, what, 7, 8 years older than I am?
I'm just.
Yeah, you're 50 what?
52.
52, and I'm 44, so you got me by just a few years.
Well, I'm younger than all of them.
And Ryan's probably, he said he's younger than all of them.
And I'm proud to say
me and Derek are old men.
Yeah.
But you start preparing for that, for the future, you know. You start thinking about getting 50, getting 55, getting 60, right. You know. I mean, when you think about it, 16 years isn't that long. Away. I mean, it goes, time flies, man. It just seems like I was 16 years old. It's like, God, where did all this time go?
Yeah.
And I could do it forever, but then all of a sudden you look back and it's like, God, it was quick. You know, and now you start getting older and you're like, man, 16 years is going to be here before I know it. It's going to be quick, you know, and where do I want to be in 16 years? So I'm having to think about not just me, I'm having to think about my family and my grandkids, you know, now. You know, I would have never thought 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that I'd have, you know, grandkids, you know, because my kids were still small, you know, the last thing in my mind. Now it's like, wow, I better get busy. So that's kind of what Heather and I are doing. We're trying to get settled, squared away, and say, okay, getting ready for my retirement years and all that. So it takes a lot of work, you know, especially with the economy these days.
It is. Changed now. Now, you still have APSR radio, but you actually have a good friend that's working with you now. You got the old Hip.
Yep, Michael Hip.
Mike Johnson.
Johnson is, he has really, really taken the reins, and he does my show. Mine has a show. He's a stand. He calls himself a scab, but he's actually the radio show host of APSR at this point. while we're working on the TV show. Mike's been doing a great job. He's basically been working the network for me because I just have not had time. You know, I get in there and try to get a little bit done and stuff, but Mike has been the real backbone of APSR staying where it's at. One time, we were just going to shut it down. And Mike came along and said, hey, you know, I want to do this. And would you give me a try? And I said, well, sure, you know. He's done a real good job. He's helped the network grow. We've got, you know, of course, we're supposed to be streaming your show right now. I don't know if we got that set up, Derek.
I'm not sure.
I know you sent an email, and that's how busy I've been. I ain't even checked my email. But we're supposed to be streaming it, and we are going to be streaming it. I'm going to get that fixed this week.
Jimmy, let me ask you, Jimmy, have you noticed that in the past couple years, especially since the Taps guys have really started getting popular with their show, the, you know, Plumbers on Sci-Fi Channel, has your business and so forth, has the radio network and your paranormal investigations, has that really picked up a lot? Have more people become interested?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think they help. Without a doubt, man.
You ever had the affection to become a plumber?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I used to be a plumber. Long time ago. That's what I, when I started out as a young man, that's what I did. And went decided to go to the Air Force. I got smart. I hated working, you know, hard work. I wanted to get behind a desk, and that's what I've done. I've got into computers and stuff, and it's got me to where I'm at today. But, you know,
To answer your question, Ron,
I think it did, you know, of course it had some effect, you know, because I think with that and then with, like, our radio show, there were other shows, you know, before me that had kind of did some of the groundbreaking of it a couple of years before I started that helped me get started. And I think with all of it, it just really exploded. People got more comfortable with it. And we're more willing to talk about paranormal experiences, whether it be Bigfoot, ghosts, demons, angels, UFOs, alien abductions, all of that, you know, and all of that composes the paranormal arena. And I think it really got busy. I mean, it has really boomed. I mean, it has boomed over the last, Derek, when did we start? We started, let's see, February of 2004.
Yeah.
We met, like, mid-summer of 2004, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, somewhere, yeah.
Somewhere in there, because Shane was with me, and then Todd Bates was co-hosting as well. And it wasn't as busy in 2004. You seen the real big boom in 2005.
Sure.
And then, of course, 2006, man, everybody was, you know, I couldn't go anywhere, you know, without people asking me about my show, asking about, you know, my investigations. They were really interested. And I'm talking about people that were in high places, you know, that were really interested in it. You know, they didn't look at me like I was crazy. They really respected what I did. Some of them even listened to the radio show. And some of their teenagers listened to my show. So we had a big cross cut of people, you know, all ages and groups, male, female, you name it. You know, we had a good even number of listenership, I think. And, of course, when Heather and I started, man, that just, when we started co-hosting together finally in 06, it just boomed. Actually, it was late 05. And yeah. It just went from there, and just, wow, we were surprised at the many fans that we had, you know, and how big it had grown.
You remember one time you saying that you picked up around 3,000 people that actually were listeners?
Yeah, at one time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a lot for internet radio. Anybody that's ever done any internet radio knows about it. You know, you think about, okay, they're on radio. Well, they got to remember we're on internet, so people can listen to us anytime. And you cannot grab everybody at one time. You grab a small portion at chunks during the day and throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year. And so that means we just get a lot of, you know, you actually have a better listenership, I think, than interest at times.
Yeah.
It seems
that's
like
my call waiting. That's my call waiting. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to cut it off.
It seems like every area now, Jimmy, has several paranormal investigation societies, and many of them which just popped up over the last couple of months.
That's an understatement, Ron. It's like every square foot there's a, you know.
Exactly. But I wonder, and this is kind of why I asked about the Taps guys, and that's becoming so popular. It seems like a lot of people, they sit down and watch the show, and they go down to their local hardware store and get some sort of common electronics equipment, and all of a sudden they call themselves paranormal investigators.
Oh, you got that all over the place. You know, we don't call them garage investigators. I don't know. Now, I may get a lot of hate mail, but I mean, it is. I mean, you just don't go pick up equipment, you know. Anything with great garage bands, you know, the teenagers sitting there trying to learn to play music and stuff, you know.
Sure.
Same principle. You know, you can't just go grab equipment and, okay, I'm a paranormal investigator. It doesn't work like that. Man, I had a lot of experience. Mine is through experiences, trial and error. I don't consider myself the best. I mean, I don't think anyone's the best. Some people have gotten labeled as being, you know, this, you know, well, sorry, you know, there's no one better than the other. We're still learning. Nobody has come up with the magic answer, the magic video shot, or the magic. Nobody's come up with that. You know, until that person comes up with that and it can be ruled out as it's truly authentic and they've caught a ghost apparition and no qualms from skeptics and everybody says, hey, that's a ghost. That's a spirit.
You hear
the
thing,
nobody is better than the other, because until they do that, they ain't nothing.
Everyone,
like me,
wants,
and you, and everybody else out there.
Well, I think everyone was trying to find. They want to find a ghost. They want to find that scared feeling. They want to be on the edge like everyone else. But
and I think that's a lot of it, though. I think that's a lot of it, Derek. You got a lot of thrill seekers.
That's what it is.
You got thrill seeker investigators. Then you have those that are truly trying to help people. And I think that's where I fall into. I go to help people. I don't go do investigations. Investigations aren't my goal in life. Okay, it doesn't overtake my life. I can't.
Yeah.
I want to live life. I got other things. I already know there's ghosts. I already seen them. Didn't have a recorder. Didn't have that. But I mean, I have experienced it. I have seen it. I know what's there. I try to help other people understand what's out there and that it's okay, and you know that there's ways to get rid of them, there's ways to take care of situations and help them calm down a little bit. But as far as just letting paranormal rule my life, no. It ruled my life for 4 years on that radio show, and
yeah.
I had to take a step back and say, hey, you know. What's most important to me in my life? And I love doing the radio show. I love having the fans and all that. But when it came down to it, it was, you know, it's more like, you know, my family and my future has to come first. You got to have a balance. And that's one of the main reasons why Heather and I took a back seat on, you know, taking some downtime is because, people don't know what it's like having to do a radio show. When you do it 5 nights a week, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. There's a lot of preparation for each show.
Yeah, you're not doing this every once a week. You're doing this like 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yeah, I was I was doing it 6 nights a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when I first started in 2004.
Yeah.
I did that about six months.
Yeah.
I did that for about 6 months, and I cut it back to 5 nights a week, 2 hour shows. They used to be 3 hour shows, 6 nights a week, and I cut them, like I said, I cut them down to five nights a week, 2 hour shows. So Heather and I did that for quite a while, and then cut it down to 3 nights a week, and then we finally just faded out. What was it? May of last year? So it's been almost just a little over a year that that Mike's been doing it. For us, you know, running everything for us. So that's kind of where we're at. That's kind of my stance on everything now.
Jimmy, I've been listening.
I'm hoping to get back into it and really, get back into helping people, not getting out there and kind of getting in the limelight and all. I would rather be just helping people. When I can, and just enjoying life, man. That's
yeah.
All. You know, looking forward to retirement.
Have you ever had any of the guys that you've interviewed a while back, say Chip Coffey or John Zaffis or anything, have they ever called you up and said, Jimmy, you want to come on and play with us?
Do I want to do what?
You ever had those guys that you've actually spoken to, you've interviewed quite often, which was John Zaffis and Chip Coffey or... or Chris Moon. Like, I know you've worked with Chris before, but have you ever had anybody call you lately to say, come on, you want to come out with us and do some work?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, we get invited periodically. A lot of the people that I know, that's real big into the paranormal, seasoned paranormal investigators, and they've been on shows and stuff. You know, they kind of know where I'm at because we talk back and forth. Although I haven't talked to Chip Coffey in quite a while, but I've been out there. You know, I've done stuff with all of them. You know, with Chip and John. Chris Moon, definitely. Still talk to Chris. We're still working on some things together, talking about doing some things. Heather and I hosted Chris's website, Haunted Times. In fact, we're the ones that came up with Heather actually came up with his slogan and his name of the magazine.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was his webmaster there for a long time. We got so busy, he wasn't able to do it, so now he got other people to help him out with it. But I talked to Chris quite often. I've had experiences with him, and there's Frank Fox, Telephone to the Dead. Quite an awesome box. Unless you experience it, you just, I don't know, you just got to be there.
I was there. I experienced it. You were up in Savannah, Georgia. And it's with Chris at the time this whole thing took place. Somebody called me and told me to listen to the show at the time. I think you called me and said, listen to this, Eric, you got to hear this. And I listened to the show when you guys were playing the recording of it because you were there live, and then you played it again on the show again.
Yeah.
The hairs in my neck were standing up like you didn't believe actually talking, like you were talking to who was on the other side in that box.
Yeah.
I mean, I never felt that before, not like that.
It was, we had a private session, and I can't go into great detail because there's a lot of personal stuff. But what Heather and I experienced, and what Chris, I think it even shocked Chris in one portion of it, because it never ceases to amaze me, but it definitely confirmed some things for me, and there was no doubt. There's no doubt in my mind that there was something coming through. There were voices coming through. Couldn't tell you where scientifically. I couldn't confirm it. There's no way I could validate it, measure it. All I can say is I know what I experienced and what I heard and what was stated. And they were very vocal. You know, you get a lot of static sometimes in it. I mean, there is static, but you have to listen into the static. And, you know, it's not that you're making words out of static. It's like you're hearing them talk to you through the static. You know, like it's that wall, like, you know, somebody's on the other side of the wall talking to you.
Yeah.
That kind of metaphor or analogy. Their voices were real. And, you know, I heard a friend of mine come through. I will say this. I heard a friend of mine that has been dead since 1989. He came across the box. And he was also the friend that made an appearance to me just several weeks after he had passed. So there was no doubt in my mind who it was. And he said some things that only were kind of like between him and I, because he's one of my best friends. So it was only something that he would have known that I had not broadcasted to anyone. People just didn't know.
Yeah.
So,
now, does this
pretty amazing, man. It's amazing stuff. You know, when you get to dealing with this, you know, people getting into this, I don't discourage anyone from getting into the paranormal. I just say, look, listen to those that have been in it. Read their books. Email them if you've got questions or concerns. Learn and take their advice. Take those that are seasoned in this. Take their advice. And if you're going to do it for the right reasons. Do it not to gain fame and fortune, because you're darn sure not going to get rich off of it. You know, the guys and pals are just lucky, and they're not really that rich. You know, people get a big chunk of that money. So, they're, you know, yes, they've had a lot of seasons and stuff like that, but eventually that's going to run out. You know, and all this is going to play off, and there's only going to be those like us, Derek, that are out there, and John Zappas, that still do this, and we do it for the right reasons. We do it to help people, you know, that's what we're out there doing it for. I've even gotten back to the point, you know, so I really don't care if I prove anything scientifically or not. That was a goal of mine at one time, and I stepped back. I said, you know, why have I got to prove anything to anyone? I really don't care whether anybody believes it or not. It's not for them to believe. It's for me to believe, or those that I'm helping, if they believe it, it's for me to help them and get them through it. Other than that, it just doesn't matter.
Ryan, you got a question for Denny?
Well, yeah, I was wondering with the box to the dead, so to speak. Was that basically from? There's a story that Thomas Edison was working on, or he had told a newspaper reporter that he was working on the telephone to the dead.
Right.
I know if you look on the official Thomas Edison historical website, it'll say that is a myth. But I think there's different schools of thought about whether or not he was really working on a telephone to the dead. Does this actually come from that? Has it been worked on since?
Yes. That it's supposedly, you know, and I have no reason to disbelieve him because the thing works, number one. Now, is it, I've also done some analysis for Chris. He's done sessions for people, private sessions. And I do analysis, so I get to hear a lot. And I clean it up. When I say clean it up, I'm amplifying things, getting some of the clicks and pops out of it so you can actually hear what they're saying a little bit clearer. Because sometimes it's like listening to no phonograph, you know? It's got that, you know, that crackling like it's got dust on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I try to take some of that out. But even with the amplification, you know, even if I amplify, some of it I don't have to amplify it. I mean, it's just loud and clear. But supposedly, Thomas Edison's come through this thing and talked. And he supposedly talked to this guy, Frank, and told him what part was missing and how to improve on it. And it was supposedly made from the specs of that particular box. Or equipment that Thomas Edison was working on. I have heard different stories. Is it plausible? It's very plausible, because if you also look back into history and do research, a lot of people, starting from Benjamin Franklin on down, they were into spiritualism. They were some of the first spiritualists.
Mm-hmm.
So they very much believed it. People were actually looking into that long before we were even thought about being born. And spiritualism was already the seed was already there, you know, and I mean, that's basically what it stemmed from. Do I believe it's Thomas Edison? Do I believe that he built a box? I don't know. All I know is I know what I heard and what was happening. And man, there's no mic in this thing.
There's no microphone?
There's no microphone. That's why I mic'd it. I mean, to do the show. I mean, there's no mic. There's a speaker. That's it. It is a speaker. And it's a box with transistors and this thing that goes across different bands and weeds that out and creates white noise, and this guy comes across and starts talking to you from nowhere. And that's why I'm saying my belief is these spirits are right there. They're coming through, because you figure that energy, they can go and come as they please. So they're opening that veil right there. Something, I don't know. John Moran, Derek, you know John.
Yeah.
John had he was with Chris on a particular instance. At one of the Ghost Hunter universities, I think, that Chris does. And John was a guest with him. And John had an experience with that thing. He didn't want to touch the box cord. And he has some stories to tell about that. Because John's also a psychic, more medium. And he's like, man, he can see them, he can hear them. He talks to them. Yeah. But with that box, he said it blew his mind.
No,
not only it blew his mind, he was hearing these spirits talk before they came through the box. And he had made a comment to Chris, and this spirit comes across and tells him that he was this, you know, and I died. And John had already told Chris how this particular entity had died. And he came out and told him that he had lost an arm and a leg or something like that in a sawmill. That's what came across the box.
And that was accurate?
And suppose it was accurate.
Now, Jimmy,
some students had actually verified that.
When you see these pictures, of, especially all the digital equipment we have today, and knowing that all three of us are probably looking at computer screens right now, and we've all got Photoshop and all those things, when you see these digital pictures of orbs, when you hear EVPs, you see pictures of ghosts and so forth, as an investigator, how critical of an eye do you have when you're looking at that sort of thing?
Very. Very skeptic. I'm definitely very skeptic of other people's stuff, just like they are of mine. When I see orbs and stuff, orbs to me do not excite me on still pictures.
I'm not sold on orbs either, and I even told...
Now, people get upset at that now. I had to be careful with it because they do get upset about it. This is what excites me is when I see these energy balls rolling around and going between me and another device that I'm using, and I get EVPs. Now, that excites me when you see it on a moving picture.
Yeah, you got it on video. That's different.
That video is different. And there is such thing as an orb, as what we call an orb, some kind of energy. Is it the spirit? Is it their energy? We're just catching their energy. They're sending it out and they're transmitting. Is it the actual spirit itself? I could not tell you, and I wouldn't even. I'm not even going to come out and even try to say one way or the other.
Brady, if an orb is related to a specific spirit, like who that person is or persons are, all we know is that they're orbs of energy. What is their purpose? Why are they there?
Exactly. Nobody can tell you for sure what that is and why
it's
there. We don't have that kind of information, you know.
Even the best scientists cannot even tell you. They can tell you there's energy orbs there, or the presence of orbs, but they can't really tell you. I mean, I've actually interviewed people that have actually done a lot of investigating about orbs. I've got a fellow who I have on my show, Heinemann is his name. I've had him on my show where he's written a book and has a CD, a DVD of their investigations. But they still did not say who are these people. All they're saying is their energy orbs are there. I mean, it could be nature orbs. It could be, just the presence of. But we don't know who they are.
Right.
And even the best medium would never know.
Exactly.
You try, but you can only say. So, I mean, that's the way things. I mean, that's the way I understand it. I've been doing it for a long time as well.
Oh, well, yeah, you've been doing it just as long as I have. Actually, as long as you're older. But, answering your question, Ron, I'm very critical of other people's stuff, just as much as I am my now, Heather, she's very critical. She's so bad. She's more critical than I am. She'll rip you apart. She just rips your heart out. You know, when it comes to it. And she definitely believes in, you know, ghosts and all. But she, you know, when it comes to the pictures and all that, she's like, you know, hey, I can recreate that. If I can recreate it, it didn't happen.
Right.
You know, it's not anything specific. There goes the cell phone. Now my call waiting will stop.
No, Jerry,
that's a good question, though, Ron. I think everybody needs to be critical of their photos and EVPs. God, I could do a 3-hour show just on EVPs alone. Good points, bad points.
Yeah, you actually have interviews, and pretty amazing ones as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got some really good EVPs.
I would tell Ryan about one location you were at, which was, remember, I think it was on your video, where there was three flags or four flags that were next to you, like, you know, the flags in the poles. I think it was the graveyard, and one of the flags was actually levitating straight out, and the other two did not move?
Well, it wasn't actually on the video. We talk about it. I actually talk about it on the video at the location.
Yeah.
This is me and my brother-in-law were going out there to test some equipment, and at the time we didn't have our video cameras set up where the night shot would work at long distances, you know. And we were in the cemetery. We were just mainly taking pictures and trying to do EVPs, and really should have taken a video camera because I started seeing things happen, and I was asking questions. Weird things started going on, and all of a sudden, yeah, these flags just start standing straight out. And there's no wind, there's no breeze, and it wasn't all of them, it was just one. And I was doing this like a, you know, question-answer session. And I was like, okay, if you're here, you know, make that flag over there go up. You know, the third one to the right go up. And it would poof, popped out. And I thought Jesse was gonna mess himself, because he's like, man, that's too weird. We got to go home. It really flipped him out and flipped me out a little bit too, because you know it's like, wow, there's no breeze. We got a recording of it, but just audio. You know, and again, okay, now you hear me telling the story. You can believe it or not. I have nothing to show proof of it except it's an audio. I didn't think we got that now. But it happened. It's an experience. You know, and nobody can take that away from us. And it was pretty wild. That was a pretty wild thing to happen. And it's like one of those things that happened so dramatic, you know, that an experience that you don't get to see all the time.
Yeah.
As that, it's like, man, I wish that I had a video camera. That's what we've been trying to, you know, that's what we go out to capture with a video camera. Try to capture something, just, you know, to show physical proof of it. And, you know, like I said, even though I'm not out for the, you know, to look at the scientific ways of it now, you know, I still want to be scientific, I guess, you know, to rule it out and things like that. I still like to use the equipment, and, you know, I'm still trying to capture that one piece of photo that shows that ghost, you know, where they have a full, you know, full-fledged apparition that looks like you can recognize a person, you know, as a recognizable, transparent person. You know, I want to capture that.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else does. So.
I think the neatest part of it is that whenever you're at a place and you know something that's going to happen, you don't have your camera with you, you don't have a recorder with you, and you're kicking your butt that you don't have it with you when that certain event does happen, whether it's even a car accident, but you wish you had it with you. Has it ever happened to you?
Yeah. All the time.
All the time. All the time.
I should say all the time. Yeah, you know, actually, you know, we had something happen, and we were actually setting up. Scott McClure, who's on our, he's from Georgia, he and Mitch have their West Central Ghost Paranormal, West Central Georgia Paranormal Investigations Group. Scott's on our DVD as well, but he had an instance that he came down here to help me with the investigation, and I'm setting up, and this spirit comes up there and just starts talking to me, asking me what I was doing. You know, like, what are you doing? I'm doing, I'm trying to capture you. And I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody's behind me, and nobody's talking to me, and that's, you know, in this physical realm. Darn it, they did it to me again. You know, I know it was a joke on me, you know, or something. I was trying to hook up the cameras at the time. I was unrolling the cable out. And asked me, what are you doing? What do you look like I'm doing? I'm rolling cable out. You know, and I said it just like that. And Heather and Scott and the clients looked at me like I was crazy. I said, y'all didn't hear that, huh? They were like, no. What did you hear? And I told them. And they all kind of got, you know, the mouse dropped a little bit. And I said, they wouldn't know what I was doing. And I told them, what do you think I'm doing? I said, what does it look like? You know, it got to be a joke. It was kind of funny, you know.
That's funny.
Now, Jimmy, you gave us a
look. That was a funny moment, you know, and I did not have the camera going. Nor did I have a recorder going. We had just walked in the door and we were setting up. I mean, I was trying to get the cameras going, and something happened. So, man, you know, weird things happen. You know, you never know when they're going to happen. But I can't carry a camera and recorder with me around me on 24/7. You know, you just hope you've got that piece of equipment when it does. You hope you're lucky.
You were talking earlier, Jimmy.
Like deer hunting is luck. Being in the right place at the right time at the right moment and having the right equipment. That's what it's all about.
Has anyone else in the crew... Hang on. Has anyone else in the crew been doing any work on the sideline while you're doing other projects?
No, we've all been busy, actually. As you know, my group is consists of family, and we work together as a team, and we just all have been just so overwhelmed with different other things going on that we just, none of us had time to do it. We really haven't. Jesse and I did go up and do a couple of things last year. Wait a minute, last year or first part of this year? No. I can't remember if it's first part of this year or last year. See, you tell what my time is, man. I've lost track of the days, the weeks, the months, to be honest with you. But he and I moved up to, we went up to have people a chance and folks up there on the spotting case up there. We did that, and that was about the last thing I've done as far as, you know, getting out and helping anybody. You know, and I've referred folks. I've had people call me, you know, talk to me, those kind of things. Being out in the field, well, I take it back. I went out with Tim Hobbs not too long ago. He and I went to just do some filming, and his girlfriend and my son and daughter-in-law went with us. And we went to a cemetery, a couple of cemeteries.
Why does everybody go to...
Huh?
Why didn't everybody go to a cemetery all the time? Do you find that really important? I mean, is there a haunting always in the cemetery? Or do you find that their building is much more haunted?
No, no, and no. There's always somebody being buried at some point in time. You know, I mean, that funeral homes stay pretty busy. Cemeteries stay pretty busy. We have had the instance that we had the thing in the cemetery, and one of the reasons I was going to the cemetery is I want to prove there ain't no dead people out here. I mean, there's no ghosts out here. Why would they come
ain't
back?
No dead people.
You know, yeah, there's no dead people, yeah. There's no ghosts here. There's a lot of dead people. Yeah, that was a good trip. Yeah.
I think once we
pass, I think they may be there for their wake. You know, if you're going to see a spirit or there'll be the time they be there, would be during the wake portion,
yeah,
the memorial service. After that, once their body is put in the ground and all that, why would they go back? What's there to go back to? Why hang around? You know, I don't think that's what happens is, yeah, they might go there and say, well, this this is kind of weird. And maybe being shown something. You know, you never know what's going. We don't know what happens when we die, when we cross over. But it does appear that whenever there's been someone has just been buried, or there has been a wake going on, there is more activity. We do just seem to get something. And that was the case with the flags. There was a couple of folks who had just been buried, and we had this activity. So that's why I figured, oh, wow, you know, this could be a reason. And I've gone where it didn't get squat, but nothing going on, and nobody had been just been buried. I mean, it had been days apart, you know, people had been buried. So I was kind of trying to test that theory back and forth, but I just said, one of those things, said, okay, whatever. But people are fascinated, you know, think graveyard, dead people, ghosts, they must be there. I don't know. And you hear there's different urban legends that are out there, different stories about, you know, this person's ghost being seen stuck in the cemetery and all that. I just don't believe that's the case. I don't think they get stuck in the cemetery. Why would they get stuck in the cemetery? There's no reason for them to get stuck in the cemetery. You know what I'm saying? They're already buried there. They ain't got nothing to do there. They're going to be going to be attached to the place that they were, that they like to be at. You know, who wants to be in a cemetery at night anyway? I don't. I guarantee you, when I die, the last place that you will find me will be at a cemetery. I promise you, I won't be there.
Well, the last thing you think, and the last place you see after you die is in a cemetery. So. I don't know.
You know, who knows? It's just that, I think it's that eeriness.
You know?
That's a lot of it. But,
Jimmy, we're coming to a closing, and,
I have got to get going. I have to get up early in the morning and go to work, and I ain't even got my clothes ironed yet.
Is there anything you want to share with anybody out there, their listeners? Give them a little bit of information, let them know what's going on before we step up.
Just be patient. You know, we are trying to come out with something with our TV show. Just hang in there. I still appreciate everybody that listens to the show, and appreciate you guys bring me on tonight. Heather and I are still there. We're not really gone away. We're still there in body and spirit. We're just working hard. We're trying to get things done. It's just taking us a little bit longer than I had anticipated with everything, and we'll be back. It's just be patient. And watch the website, APSRradio.com. That's where you'll hear the latest and greatest. And Derek and Ryan, thanks for having me on the show tonight.
You're welcome.
And as always, Derek, you're a good friend, and I appreciate you, man. And I'm going to hang up this phone with you in your show. I got to go.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Here.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, folks. Take care. Thank you for listening to the show. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the program. This is the first time that Ryan and I have been working together as a co-host, and I think this is going really well. So, are you still there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. So we're ready to come to close, and anyway, let you guys know that next week we look forward to sharing more information, more new people coming on this show, and we also like to send our prayers out to those people that actually are dealing with the earthquake we've been experiencing out in California. So anyone, like everybody says, take care, and our prayers out there for you, and be good out there, behave yourself. And this is Derek White, Fat Cloud, and you listen to Between Two Worlds, and you're also listening to... Brian, are you there?
The volume is going down a little bit again here. I lose you every so often.
Okay. Ryan, do you want to say anything before we shut down?
Just, as before, had a nice time with you, and a little bit of those technical glitches, and, I think that's something we'll get... we'll get worked out as we go through here, and I'll be able to hear better, and we'll all be able to talk better, and we'll get each other's timing down, et cetera, and it's going to take some time, and, you know, those darn earthquakes.
Terrible earthquakes.
Yeah.
Anyways, folks, take care. Best of luck to all of you. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.